Esa no la lié. Sí, bien, bien. On how we enter this year, on how we begin this year really matters. So it's been a spiritual tradition of this house, never to take life in the beginning of the year, at a season like this. We've been waiting on the Lord now. Today is the seventh day, and I believe God is ministering to us. For me personally, he's been confirming a lot of things. But this morning, you know, God never changes. He's never changed. He's been the same before time. He's the same today and be the same after time, forever. Because he's God. The only reason why he's God is because he's never changed. Everything just changes to be like him. So once you understand the ways of the Lord, he does not change his ways like men. Well, this is not working, so let's try another thing. This is not working, let's try another thing. No, the counsel of the Lord is forever established. It works. In a poor country, it works. In a rich country, it works anywhere in the world because it's the one that implements his plans. Amen?
Amen.
So, there's a word that's important for us to understand it clearly as we enter this new year. And that word was spoken to Jeremiah, and it has to do with his boss. Said to Jeremiah 1 chapter 5, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And while you were in your mother's womb, I ordained you and I set you apart for a purpose. For Jeremiah was the very voice of the Lord. Everybody sitting here today, that word applies to you. But the unfortunate thing is, the moment you're incubated in a mother's womb and were released into this earth as flesh and blood, not everybody walks in what God knew about them. It's not possible. So that's why in Isaiah 64, verse 4, God said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Neither has it entered the heart of man. The things God has prepared for himself. So here Jeremiah says, God is saying, I sent you into this world. I put you in the flesh for a purpose. Isaiah 64 says, it's not possible for flesh and blood to see that purpose of God, unless for those who need them. So not everybody understands their call as destiny. Why? Let me explain before we go further. Everything about Mount Zion from the very foundation is about provoking, igniting, awakening people's destiny. Moses was born in a season of extreme abortion. The most wicked time, nothing is new under the sun, even now. When children are born, especially the male, they had to be killed because Satan was afraid of the population of Israel. Children would come. So they had to be aborted immediately. Moses was born in that very wicked time. All the children of Israel have destiny, but was favored upon his life. As soon as Moses was born, of course, you also saw what happened. The mother put him by faith in the water, and then Pharaoh's daughter came and took him, knowing that he's an Israelite. And then, if you think it's a coincidence, he asked the very mother of all the Jewish women to nurse him. But Moses was raised in the king's palace. And the word of God says that Moses was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt to be a prince. In other words, he went to the best school, ate the best food, he was among the class, he was among the best, he was a prince. But his destiny was different from where he was. His destiny was to be a deliverer. His destiny was to stop 400 years of bondage and slavery. It was bigger than what anything human could do. So here is Moses in the highest position, heir to the throne of the greatest kingdom that lived. He was prince. But here is God's plan for Moses to be a deliverer. So what happened? Moses, now school, now have knowledge, great, was walking around and he was now beginning to be vexed. Something in him is not happy with the system. Something in him is not comfortable with oppression, with injustice, with wickedness. Something in him knew he was called to make a difference. Because the body they carried had a responsibility for the solution. I just want to stop here and say, if you don't have a body for something, you might not pay the price for the solution. So he carried his body, he carried his body, he carried his body. It was another way of recognizing and calling. And so it is all wisdom, all trained, all education. He thought the best way to deliver the children of Israel was to kill the Egyptians one by one. What a smart thing, man. A Harvard student. So, as he did that, it was then all things started working together. And the best thing that ever happened to him was that Pharaoh threw him out of that place. And David, Moses had to spend 40 years to be purged of the strength and the wisdom of the sword in the place of ministry. To answer destiny. It was Moses now, after he's been now purged of all his PhDs and resumes and everything. Don't forget, those experiences was a thing. The training was going to be useful eventually for his service. It was after all this purging in the flesh has taken place, God started training Moses on how to be led by the Spirit. So he first experienced the angel. Now God told him, I will now take you to Egypt. I'll do something with you. And his destiny started manifesting. So many times from this story I just told you, if we're not careful, our career, our resume, our bank account, our human wisdom become so wise that we're not foolish enough to trust God and work with. So we become the greatest enemy of our destiny. And we never see what heaven has prepared for us to walk in, because we're not willing to wait to hear what is the answer. So for that reason, it's not just talking about those who are the children of God and led by the Spirit of God. Found out from the life of David, from all the examples of this Bible, that God will test people if you really see yourself being led by the Spirit. If you really want God's agenda, if you want God's plan. So for that reason, for many, many years now, we stop at least first 7 days of the year, say, well, you know what? We can't go into a new year thinking that we know the whole year. We stop to say, to fasting, to prayer, we consecrate ourselves, God, my life personally, whatever I am, whatever we lay down and say, lead us into this year. You think God doesn't take notice? In 2008, a ministry was launched out of this house with some leaders, African leaders. In 2010, we did our first assignment in Washington, D.C. because of the prophetic movement, prayer movement, focused on destiny. We had the meeting at the Capitol, and then the next 2 years we had it Lincoln Memorial. And then after so many years we were going all around Washington D.C. And then finally this 2023 we went to the middle where the Washington Monument was. It was in that place God did something in my heart to say, you have discovered something of yourself. I did not know that all the years we prayed in Isaiah, God wants your will, we want only your will, we want your counsel, we want your purpose, God, whatever it takes, we're praying all these things. I did not know that every decision we made, everything we took in, God led us to do. Without knowing, until this last one, he sealed the first assignment completed. Stop. So as we enter this year, we don't want to say, oh, we already understood, we already know. You always stop for you personally. And the church has said, oh, stop. I say, we don't know what is in 2024, especially election year. You have a president that is a little bit elderly and people are concerned about him. And then we have, on this side, a lot of unknowns. And America is no more a political nation. It's a crisis nation. And the agenda of the global agenda of Satan is pushing this nation right now. So you don't even have a clue what is about to explode in the nation. But what happens here affects war. We have war in Israel, we have war in Ukraine, we have so many things happening. Why would you be a Christian and not pause and say, God, how does my destiny play out in 2020? What is 7 days ahead? So that's what I'm encouraging you. So today, I feel led to start this year, and always remember to start it with this understanding for us to provoke us with GPS. I want them to put it on the screen, GPS. See, I used to read the Bible, and when I read it, I see that Jesus used a lot of illustration that related to farmers, because that's all they knew then, that related to tax collectors, or, you know, all the things that was prevalent in that time. He used a lot of them in parables and illustrations to make them sink the understanding of all those things. I don't know any better illustration about the leading of the Spirit for this generation than to use the GPS. The GPS. Amen? This technology has been so useful and so helpful for guiding, for directing, for instructing. The GPS is designed, of course, connected with the satellite, connected with all the positioning systems anywhere you go, and you know how it's used. Before you leave your house, amen? Before you leave your house, first you have a car, amen? I don't know if people use GPS. They use GPS on cycles, so you use it on a phone. Anyway, you're going to travel. You have not been to that state before. You have not been to that state before. You've not been to that city before. But you just have confidence because of GPS. So what happens before you leave to say, I'm going to this place in New York, and you're about to leave Cleveland? You've never been to New York. You don't know the way to New York. The GPS sees everything exactly all the way to New York. And so when the GPS, before you leave, you put the address in New York. 20 Naomi Street, New York City. And you put, immediately you put it, it registers on your board, on your phone. It not only tells you where you begin from, it begins to show you every step you can take. It not only tells you every step you can take, immediately it gives you an idea of where you are right there. The time and the season. And then as you go, it tells you where restaurants are. It tells you where gas stations are. It tells you everything you need for the journey. It tells you how you can find it. It tells you where you can eat. Everything is there. And then now, the GPS will tell you if they say, hold up, there's a detour, you say, so and so miles, there's something happening there, there's a way to bypass it. The GPS is a roadmaster. Especially when you've never been there. You know, it's so easy to go to the scripture, those that are led by the Spirit of God and the children of God. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? So I want to talk about GPS today. Amen? Last year we entered 2023 with that focus. And as I was praying, the Lord says, I don't change. The Holy Spirit doesn't change. Begin the year and reminding yourself and the people, I'm still GPS. So I want to read a scripture before we go further. This scripture is in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, I'll read from verse 30. It says, the Lord your God, Moses was telling the children of Israel, which goeth before you, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Then he jumped to 33. He says, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents, pack your car? Who goes before you to pitch you out, to pitch your tents in the fire by night, and then to show you by what way you should go in the cloud by day? That's the Holy Spirit expression in the Old Testament. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Amen. Egypt was a place of bondage, satanic rulership. They had no power of their own to come out of it. So God brought them out of that place with the power of God. But before he brought them out, he gave them a promise. Everybody say a purpose, a promise, and a purpose. You don't come out of Egypt just coming out of Egypt. That's the same thing with being born again. So you come out of Egypt, and God says, there's a journey from Egypt called the wilderness to the promised land. And now the same God that said that the distance from Egypt to the promised land is the wilderness, with all kinds of dangers, all kinds of weather, all kinds of terrains. Human beings don't go through that path, but God was going to walk them to the path of promise. And then in the promise, there are giants. But that's their inheritance. That's their promise. So the first thing God wants to tell us, tell the children of Israel, through that is, listen, without grace, without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to be a Christian. You might as well understand why some people are in the church, but it's like they're in the world. Because you're trying to solve spiritual problems with human mindset. You cannot leave Egypt where you are struggling with the world system to enter a promised land that are giants and to walk in the terrains of the path in your strength. Amen? That's why the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us. The Holy Spirit knows the journey from here. He knows exactly the promised land. He knows every path we need to go in the wilderness. Amen? So the first thing, you must recognize 2024, and we all must recognize and be very committed to in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is a cloud of God in the Old Testament. That's the G, the glory of God. Without the Holy Spirit, there was no church. The beginning of the church was the manifestation, baptism, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes. You can't begin in the Spirit, Paul says, and then go back in the flesh. You become bewitched, you become controlled by tradition. Amen?
Amen.
So, the first thing we did is to recognize, one, the G represents the presence of God, which is the glory of God. You have to recognize it. Moses, when he recognized it, when he went to the mountain the second time, he prayed the right prayer. I don't know about you. I know you probably do that. But every year we try to pray that prayer. That prayer is also my personal prayer. This is what he prayed in Exodus 33. He says, God, don't take us any further if your glory, your presence does not cover us. That is the prayer of a true believer. Now, when you pray that prayer, it's a dangerous prayer for your flesh. Amen? Because you begin to find out that everything your flesh likes to do, everything that your PhD tells you is the best way to go, contradicts what God is telling you. So there's a dying process. So today, the first thing we want to consecrate in the communion we're taking today is, God, I must recognize your presence in my life. Whether I know it or not, I'm born again by the Spirit. If you're not born again, today is the best way to enter into that process. You must recognize the presence of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I will send for the Comforter. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will lead you. It's everything. So he led them on the cloud by day and the fire by night. So that is, there's no option for that. The next aspect of a position by faith or in faith, what does that mean? One word summarized why faith is important. And it's in Hebrews chapter 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why faith? Faith means from Egypt, where we came out of from, God brought. brought us out of Egypt. Now, we are going on a path no man has walked. We don't know the path. And we are going to possess a promise over there. We've never been there. We don't have the capacity to go there. It's a dangerous terrain. But God says, go this way. Amen? How can God tell you to go to the Red Sea? It's Red Sea. People don't go that way. Moses, let's go this way. Amen? But God said, go to the Red Sea. But brothers and sisters, it doesn't make sense. It's blocked. So without faith, what is faith? Faith is to obey the word of God. And you cannot obey if you don't believe it. Amen? Faith is obeying the word of God. Living by the standard of this word. Because it's not the word of men. It's the word of somebody that his wisdom is way higher than men. His ways is way higher than men. His principles is way higher than men. The way he does things is by his power. So it's not anything our human nature, human mind can articulate. So faith is basically believing him, even if you don't see him, that he is faithful to his word. Amen? So without faith, without believing the word of God, it's impossible to walk with him, to please him. Why is it important to believe the word of God? You don't see God right now. But this is how he was able to write his heart, his word, his position. The word faith, position by faith, is believing the word of God. There are 1 John chapter 5, 4, says, there are three things that bear witness in the heavens. It says the Father. Instead of saying the Son, it says the Word. And it says the Holy Spirit. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot think with human mind, you cannot reason God out. So the only way to believe him is by faith. Amen?
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 Amen.
Without it, the GPS doesn't work. Google, have you used GPS before? Okay. If you've used GPS before, does it work when you don't put something there? You don't program the address where you're going. It doesn't work. Okay. So if you don't put in something there, the GPS doesn't work. You have to put in an address there. Amen? And then when you put in the address, it's like the mystery of technology. Instantly, the GPS positions you to arrive at destination. Faith positions you for success. For success. Faith positions you because what faith does is when you come out of Egypt, because you are following the GPS by faith, you are not in control of the enemy. You don't provide your own food. You don't fight your own battles. Because you're following the GPS, the GPS is taking you through routes that are impossible with man. And then any obstacle in the way, it takes care of itself. I will go before you. I will establish your path. I will fight for you. If you follow the GPS, it provides. He fed them for 40 years without nobody cooking. He fed them for 40 years without any gas cooker, electric cooker. He gave them air conditioner for 40 years, desert heat with his own cloud. Because they were following GPS. They didn't have to have laundry soap or buy anything because their clothes were supernaturally taken care of. Can you believe that? And you can name more and more and more. When they said, we are tired of eating this, we want this, he gave it to them. Amen? What happens when you follow GPS? By faith. Hebrews 11 says, it's by faith that all these testimonies of what the power of God can do was recorded. Without it, it's impossible to say whatever it is. Faith. So, faith positions you to be led by the Spirit. Amen? And let me say this in our faith before we go to the last part of S. And this is a challenge for us. God spoke to two people. These two people, he used them as an example of success. And he used these two people as an example of no matter the giant, no matter the terrain, no matter the obstacle, you will not only be successful, you will finish at the time appointed and no untimely death will stop you. How? Look at what he told this to me. Number one, he said to David in Psalms chapter 1, he says, if you meditate on the word of God, meditate day and night. He said, you'll be like a tree planted by living waters, whose leaves will never wither, and whose fruits will come in their seasons. And then he says, whatsoever you do must prosper. You will succeed. That is a promise. Why? He's saying you have programmed this GPS in your system. It's not studying and having in your mind. This has now the programming that orders the steps of your life. And you're no more leaning to your education, to what you're trained to society to be. You're now following your destiny. Meditating on the word is different from reading. Meditating is you transfer it from your head and you're programmed by it in your heart. And then Proverbs 3 says, when that becomes the case, you no more lean on your understanding. You now acknowledge God, is this, what should I do? And he will speak to you and you obey. Since then you will begin to, that word, order your steps. Exactly what God told you at Jeremiah, you will begin to walk in the things God already prepared for you. Only GPS can do that. And this is the Holy Spirit only wants to work. If you want to know when somebody prophesies to you or speaks to you, whatever, you have a dream, whatever it is, the word will confirm it. Because God speaks his word. Amen? And if you don't know this word, somebody is prophesying to you, you will not believe the prophecy and obey it because you're still reasoning and trying to make the prophecy impossible. But if you read this thing, you accept prophecy because you'll be able to mess with you. This is the navigator, the compass of the Holy Spirit. The word of God is a sword in his battle. It's what the Holy Spirit, when you pray, he uses to manifest. This is the will of God. So, David did that from a young age. He knew the traditions of the father. He stayed in it. And at a young age, this boy has assimilated what is of God's heart and started killing giants when others were still thinking about the next promotion in the military. Destiny. The next person God gave the recipe for GPS for the rest of the world to his name is Joshua. The same way he told him, you're going to deal with giants, you know, these people are going to, Joshua was actually the beginning of it all. when it was Joshua's time, God told him, Joshua 1:8. It was one of the few places in the whole Bible God used the word success. You will have, not maybe, not if. God says, if this is your GPS, Joshua, then you know what I mean by that? He didn't tell Joshua to read the Bible. He says, you meditate. You program it into you. It's beyond knowledge. You become. You live by this standard. You stay with it. It's in your face. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. This becomes your standard of life. Then it becomes your GPS. It's because of what the Holy Spirit uses. You know, Siri will say, go here, do this. He says, see, what is that? This begins to speak to you when it's in your heart. It begins to tell you, don't do this. Don't do this. Either don't have. God begins to speak. When you're afraid, he says, a greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God has not given you the spirit of fear. But you see, when this has left your mind under pressure, under situation, the Holy Spirit uses this to talk to you, to guide you, to direct you, to teach you, to instruct you, to correct, to establish the word of God. Say, Joshua, you're going to face giants, sir. Joshua, there will be plenty of opportunity for discouragement. Even with the children of Israel. But if you will let this program your life and you keep this before you, he says, no man shall be able to stand before you. Because if you walk ahead in your strength, you're led by the one who has no power to his word. So the recipe for a new year. The recipe for success. One is to understand that you cannot enter a new year without God. I said, if you're not a believer, you can do what you like. Two, you need faith in the word of God. This is that. This is what it is. In the parable of the sower, Jesus gave to the farmers, he says, the sower goes out to sow. Every level of what he shared in that story says, Satan comes from God. In our generation, the way the enemy comes, he comes to make sure you can have the Holy Spirit, but don't have the GPS. A lot of people are filled with the Spirit, but they don't read the Bible. How can the Spirit lead you through the Bible? Your mind is going to be puffed up and charged up, and you might be there, but it's not the work. This, without this, the Holy Spirit cannot take you. You can't deep. Let me be honest with you. The job of a pastor, a minister, a teacher is not to take God's position. Their job is to make sure they don't compromise the gospel. Their job is to preach and to establish truth to the hearers. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. Our job is to obey or disobey. So if you are living in sin in secret, say, oh, the pastor doesn't see me, you're deceiving yourself. The pastor is not the one who judges. You're cheating, you're gossiping, you're saying, oh, nobody knows. The pastor is not the owner of the church. The owner of the church is taking note of you because it's been preached that you're violating kingdom principles. What you do is secret. God sees. You can't be living in sin. Of course, we all are growing, amen? Yeah. So it doesn't mean you can't fall, you can't go through something, but you cannot perpetually be doing something you know is wrong and saying, the pastor doesn't see me, doesn't know, I have not received a prophecy to tell me to stop it. Brother, you don't need to receive. You have the word of God. this word is what will judge me, and will judge you before God. What you did by the way. This is our GPS. You can never lose without. You can't lose a battle. You get to your destination. It's all waiting there for us to come. David struggled, finished well. He fulfilled destiny. Joshua, everybody, Joseph had all kinds of things. He follows. He finished well. He fulfilled destiny. Some of the examples we follow are examples of people who have just over-lavished themselves in the things of the flesh. They've over-endowed themselves. Oh, this person did this person. Why not look at the examples of those who did their best like Paul? He says, I press to the mark of the high price of God. I am not a thing, but I cannot stop where I used to be. There is something. Amen?
Amen.
Destiny. The last one is S. GPS. The glory of God, the presence of the Spirit of God must be acknowledged. The second one is positioned by faith. The just shall live by faith. The third one is S. The whole reason you're still alive and well is for you to fulfill your destiny. A lot of us, a lot of you, everyone here, somehow it's not just that you get saved and go to heaven. Somebody somehow is tied to the tree of your life. Somebody somehow, God has put you in this world to bear fruit. Fruit means your life must multiply the kingdom. One way or the other, you have to produce something to show God the fruit you left in the earth. Whether it's through prayer, whether it's through serving, whatever you do in the body of Christ must fit into God's agenda so that you have something. When you get there, you say, that's why, that's the reason I came. And the biggest thing on God's heart is people. And there are two categories of people. That's what we need for our souls. Yes. There is this one category called unbelievers, which I was, which some of us were. Unbelievers, people without God. Their GPS is totally leading them to hell. There's no other, they don't have a clue where they are going. The way they are living seems right, but the end is destruction. It's clear, no GPS. I was there. And then somebody was praying or somebody was, whichever way, God shifted and I found I am the way, the truth, and the life, Christ. And now Christ programmed me in his GPS to go this way. So in the church, how many of you know the church is not heaven? The church has sinners. If you come to church, you want to beat everybody that they should be 100% look like they are. We're not in heaven yet. People are dealing with stuff. The church is a spiritual hospital. It's a training place. It's a perfecting place. It's a maturing place. It's an empowering place. People should not feel they are 100% righteous before they come into this door. I don't know how many of you are. So, the church has two people most of the time. It has to have unbelievers. Amen? And it has to have us, believers. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
The believers. Ephesians talks about, we'll look at all this year, the training, the multiplication that comes from the fivefold ministry that empowers people to be useful and to serve their destiny within the body properly. Young believers, they come, they listen, they come, they are waiting. Or if they don't come to church, nobody invites them, we go after them. Amen? So, then they give their life to God and come into our body. Amen?
Amen.
Some of us are still unbelievers. There are things we don't believe. Some of us believe that we are born again, but we don't believe in the Holy Spirit as we can tell us. That doesn't mean we are Christians. Amen? Amen? So there are levels of believers. So as we enter 2024, we have to remember this word, Jesus. And so the rest of the year, we're going to practice living in the presence of God. That's what we do to the Tabernacle of David. We're going to do our best to walk by faith. And then our focus will be both on unbelievers and maturing believers to do the work of the ministry. That's a reminder for us as we enter 2024. I don't want to mention what is out there. I'm just talking about your life with God. Having said that, I want to ask you a question before we pray and take communion. What we just shared right now, how many of you believe that the Holy Spirit can help you? Can help? You believe it?
Yes.
Okay. How many of you from this world knows that everything about God and His promise, His life, every solution God has promised in this world? You believe it?
Yes.
And many of you know that it's not about loving one another, loving God, loving Him. If that's the case, how can we be better Christians in 2024? This is a challenge. I want to ask you to make a decision. If you have not finished the Bible before, there are devotionals that can help you finish this Bible in 1 year. Not to read it, but as you read it, study it, you get to a place where you just park your car. You know God is training you, maybe Matthew or this. If you can't read the whole Bible, can you make a decision? Because the decision you make in the presence of God, there's a grace that comes with it that helps you to stay in it. But if you don't make a decision, it's like you're like a wind to the air. If you can make a decision today, my brothers and sisters, the devil has given this generation not just the social media, not just the phone, not just the media, not just the tech. Everything in the world today is keeping us from this. Mm. From this, and it's intentional. The devil is about to show up in ways some Christians will be recognized as the devil. Because you don't need this. Deception at its highest. Without this, you don't know. And you can't blame your pastor. So this decision is to arm you with a new sword. Success. Make a decision today, and I want to pray with you. God will guide you to the right devotion that will help you cover this. Make a decision, you finish the Bible this year, the devotions for that. Or you finish at least the New Testament this year. Mm-hmm. Amen? Great. If you don't feel you finish the Bible or finish the New Testament, at least make a decision, you finish the whole. Some of you make a decision, you finish the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Huh? If you don't want to make a decision on that, make a decision you finish the epistles this year. You see the categories? How many of you want to make a decision? To finish, this is 300, instead of 365, God gave us extra day, 366. This is the year. Amen? So, how many of you, just lift your hand before the Lord, that will make a decision to finish one aspect of this? Please don't impose it. Don't force yourself to do it because I didn't preach this message on my own. You need to be honest with me. Amen? So you've chosen. Okay, choose the one you finish. Choose the category you finish in your heart. Whether the whole, or the whole New Testament, or the Gospel, or all the Epistle. I'm fine with the motion. My brothers and sisters, if you will do this, and some of you go further to meditate day and night, by the grace of God, you will not just have testimony, you will see that Christianity is real. And challenges that you used to worry about, even though they're still there, will become overcome. So as we take communion today, we're going to take communion now. You have your communion. One of the reasons for communion is to remind us of our covenant. Amen? We are children of covenant. We don't just live anyhow. We are accountable to the Father, we are accountable to the Son, and we are accountable to the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you want God to help you this year, you have to be accountable to me. This communion, one, it says, when I see the blood, I'll pass it on. As you take this communion, you are saying, I'm coming under the covenant of the blood, that my destiny is protected, is covered in 22 of the gateways. You are taking this to remind Jesus as you do it, you do it in remembrance of me. This is the first Sunday of the year that God, you will order my step. That you will lead me to manifest destiny because you made the covenant. Help me to obey, to be led by your Spirit. And then this decision you made about the word of God, give me the grace to eat your word, to digest your word. Let this be programmed in me that truly your word will be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen. So, Kezia will lead us. You need healing, it's in the word. Success covers everything.
Father, we thank you for this first Sunday in this year 2024, and for the year that is stretched out ahead of us. You told us as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 1 that you will go before us, that you will lead us. And so, Father, we stand as a family under you right now, and we invoke the terms of the covenant between you and your Son, whereby we are beneficiaries. We are partakers. We ask, O God, that this year you will cause us to truly walk with you. Amen. Father, in our hearts, we have made decisions on how to do that through reading your word. Give us a hunger for your word. Amen. Reschedule our schedules. Amen. Remind us, O God. Amen. Let the word come alive in us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit of the living God to awaken us to this decision. Amen. We shall make it by your grace. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And Lord, as we stand, as we read your word, as we partake of these elements of communion this morning, we say we are one with you. Amen. There shall be no sickness. Amen. There shall be no accident. There shall be no evil befall us. Amen. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. Amen. We receive healing from the throne of God. Amen. We receive your grace to run this race, O God, with success in this year 2024. Amen. Father, watch over your people. Amen. Remember that we belong to you.
Yes.
And you are our Father and
yes.
our God.
Yes.
So everything that you came to give us by reason of the death of Jesus, today we take that in.
Yes,
we take that in.
Yes.
And we say, let us be different people.
Amen.
As we partake of these elements now. And we thank you for it. We remember you. We remember what you did.
Yes.
And we say thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You made all things beautiful in your time. Lord, please show us every day as you're teaching us your ways that you do just what you say in your time. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, please show us every day as you're teaching us your ways that you do just what you say in your time.
Father, in my covenant keeping Father, thank you for the promise of the G. You are God, and through you we receive grace.
Yes.
And your grace helps us to walk by faith. And by faith we love you.
Yes.
And because you put your love in us, we live to love others.
Yes,
the way you loved us.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We receive this covenant promise.
Yes,
and your grace will be with us.
Amen.
Your grace will be sufficient in 2023.
Amen.
Your glory and your presence will be with us.
Amen.
We will be a household of faith.
Amen.
And people will be much to us.
Amen.
You are all in love.
Yes, Lord.
You are faithful.
Yes, Lord.
Receive us as we surrender all to you. Carry us into 2024.
Amen.
Be our GPS.
Amen.
Our guide. Our guardian.
Amen.
Our teacher.
Amen.
Our leader.
Amen.
And we know by the time we get to 2025, it is you.
Amen.
Who have done it.
Yes.
And to you alone, you will be all the glory.
Hallelujah.
All the honor. All the praise.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Can take covenant of life.
Amen.
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 So by the grace of God, we're going to go deeper into GPS. Amen.
Amen.
Last year, by the grace of God, we started. But I think so far, Boma Team won the title of the most invited person and brought fruit and they stay. Amen.
Amen.
We are not watching, but God is watching. Amen.
Amen.
And we have fruit in the house.
Amen.
Amen. She invited and they stay.
Amen.
Amen. So let's keep on. But what will make us go deeper with God this year will be the why. Amen. The why for the souls. Amen. I'm going to be very excited. God bless you. Tonight we are going to finish our 7 days of consecration. Amen. We still have a few hours left to pass. And then you can start eating and eating and eating. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.